Hi friends, this is Dr. Ralph Wilson with the Jesus Walk Bible Study Series. We are studying the conquering Lamb of Revelation, and this is day 24, our last day. We shall see his face, based on Revelation 22, 3 through 5. Let's pray. Thank you, O Lord, for revealing yourself to us in Christ. I pray, O Lord, that as we seek you, we might see you more clearly and more clearly and more clearly, and that your glory might change us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. In Revelation 21, John describes the heavenly Jerusalem in all its glory, concluding in Revelation 22, showing the river of life flowing from the throne. The passage concludes with these words, reading Revelation 22, 3 through 5. No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. John's vision assures us of the utter sanctity of the holy city in two verses, Revelation 21:27. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And then Revelation 22:3. No longer will there be anything accursed. At one time, Satan and his angels had a place in heaven, but they rebelled and were thrown down. Henceforth, only the righteous will be found there, only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. See day 12 and day 18. Moreover, nothing accursed will be permitted in the Lamb's presence. The time has passed when sin would reign. Judgment has taken place. Now Jesus' prayer for his disciples is fulfilled, Matthew 6:10, Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You and I, who believe in and follow the Lamb, will be in the holy city, gathered before the throne. Not because we have somehow succeeded in making ourselves righteous. We were unclean. We were accursed. But we have been washed, sanctified, justified. In the words of Revelation, we have washed our robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. It's all Jesus. It's all the Lamb. Revelation 22:4, his name will be on their foreheads. In contrast to the mark of the beast on the foreheads of his followers, we are sealed and marked with the name of the Lamb and the Father's name. It is our mark of both ownership, we belong to the Lamb, and his ultimate protection for his own. Let's skip for a moment to the last phrase of this passage. They will reign forever and ever, verse 5. They, of course, refers to his servants in verse 3. The word that fascinates me, however, is reign, basileuo, to exercise authority at a royal level, be king, rule, that we looked at on day 5. This idea of the saints reigning with the Messiah goes back to the book of Daniel, is hinted at in the Gospels, and is found in Paul's letters in the book of Revelation. I've wondered, who will we reign over? But that probably isn't the right question. Rather, I think this refers to places of responsibility we'll have in Christ's kingdom when that time comes, where every knee shall bow before him. We'll rule and reign as officials in his administration in the kingdom of God and of his Christ. But how? Why? Be patient. Details to follow when we get there. I've rearranged the order of this passage so I can conclude with what I consider the ultimate privilege we will have. Verses 3 and 4. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face. In the Garden of Eden, it seems that the Lord God is accustomed to walk in his garden with Adam and Eve, enjoying open, loving, trusting fellowship day by day. But one day, Adam and Eve are missing. They have sinned and are now ashamed of their nakedness. Where are you? The Lord calls. And Adam responds, but the fellowship is already broken. God covers their nakedness with animal skins, but drives them from the garden, Genesis 3. From then on, people are afraid of seeing God's face for fear they will be immolated, fried, seared by exposure to his holiness while they are still in their sin. Moses asks to see Yahweh's glory. God allows Moses to see his back, but not his face, for his face is like the sun shining in full strength. Exodus 33:20. You cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. Sometimes God allows a partial vision. Moses, for example, spends time before Yahweh in his tent of meeting and comes out with his face glowing. Paul compares Moses' communion with our intimate fellowship with Jesus, 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another, for this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. The Holy Spirit mediates this spiritual beholding of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 13:12. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then, face to face. On that day, in our resurrected bodies, we shall see his face. In a monarchy, everyone wants to see the king even from afar. There is power if you are close to the throne, so people jockey for position close to the king. However, in the New Jerusalem, we will be gathered around the throne close up and see his face in intimate conversation and fellowship. In Jesus' words, we'll sit with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. We'll be there, you and I, and it will be wonderful. I think of a couple of old gospel songs, "Oh, I want to see him look upon his face," and "It will be worth it all when we see Jesus." I guess of all my hopes based on his word, this one is the most precious, that we will see him in person. We will sit at his feet, and we will be asked by his grace to sit alongside him on his throne. It will be worth it all when we see Christ. We, my beloved brothers and sisters, will see his face. Come soon, Lord Jesus, Lamb of God. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, Lamb of God, we long to see your face, to be near you and warm ourselves in the glow of your glorious presence. Thank you for the hope we have, the blessed hope of your returning and bringing to an end this veil of tears, and replacing it with the joy of your presence, where you have wiped away every tear, and death will be no more. We look forward to seeing you, beholding you, O Lamb of God. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Day 24 meditation based on Revelation 22, 3-5. When you picture God and the Lamb high and lifted up with the train filling the temple, what does it mean for us to see his face? What kind of intimacy and access does that imply? How can you begin to sit at his feet and behold the glory of the Lord now? To what degree are you doing this now? Dear friends, it's been my joy to meet with you day by day for these 24 days. And now my blessing on you is, go out and show them Jesus. Amen. My blessing to you is, go out and show them the Lamb, Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And let some of that healing water that flows within you spill out on them and heal them. Amen. God bless you.